Jason, the Bears have lost 9 games in a row, and this one looked a lot like the last 3. We'll talk about that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. It's Jason Leisure. Jason, the Bears just lost 34-17 to the Lions in a game that wasn't that close.
As Jay Cutler would say, don't care.
It was bad.
Big deal.
Yeah, it was bad for this reason, though. It was the Bears continued to do what they did against the Vikings and the 49ers and the Lions before that. And that is have Caleb Williams throw the ball all over the field in the second half with absolutely zero stakes, absolutely zero meaning behind any of it, because he's trailing and just trying to play catch-up against a soft defense. The numbers look great. The actual production, not so much.
Bears started out down 20-0, which is kind of just the norm for them. They have scored first one time all season. And in the other 14 games now, they have started the game, Patrick, on average, down 10-0. They are typically, on average, other than the Vikings game at home, they have allowed an average of 9.7 points before they have scored.
Okay.
And
is that not good?
When it's 24-0 in San Francisco and 13-0 in Minneapolis and 20-0 here against the Lions before anything even happened, the game is over.
Right.
There are not games. I mean, there's some outliers, but generally, there are not games where you're down 20-0 and anything meaningful happens after that and you win. I mean, they've been outscored now 102-42 in 3 games with Thomas Brown as interim head coach, which tells you a few things. One, understand that Thomas Brown stepped into a bad situation.
Right.
This was not a this is not a real winnable scenario for him coming into a team that was falling apart physically and mentally when he stepped in. But the Thomas Brown candidacy is definitely over now. You cannot have a guy that, and again, I don't even really mean this that critically against Thomas Brown, because he didn't build this. He was brought into a disaster zone and asked to try to make it look pretty. And I mean, how is he supposed to do that? But you do wonder if taking him out of the coaching structure that worked well for Caleb Williams and well for their offense was as problematic as I thought it was at the time. And on the flip side, you have Ben Johnson looked pretty good today. Ben Johnson looked like everything the Bears have been missing since Matt Nagy had all the right moves in 2018 and then never again. Ben Johnson had creativity, and we'll talk about the fake fumble for a touchdown later, because that was his kind of signature wow moment that he did, that he unveiled in this job interview today. But to say, you know, to look at this at the end and say, hey, it's 34-17, this could have been so much worse.
Yeah, I think
the Vikings were just had a chance that they kind of got bungled a little bit for a field goal before halftime. They had a turnover on downs in the fourth quarter at the Bears' 13-yard line. And as we've been saying in all of these games, the Vikings, the 49ers, and now the Lions game, Patrick, you look at the time of possession and the way that the team that's up by 20 is running the clock. I mean, they're not trying to run up the score.
No.
They're trying to just get this over with, get out of here healthy and victorious. And I don't know what the Bears locker room was like today, because I didn't go. I went to the Detroit locker room. It's a different world over there. Allen Robinson's over there.
Yeah.
I forgot. But there's a lot of laughing, celebrating. They were watching. They delayed the media getting into the Detroit locker room, the visiting locker room at Soldier Field, because the players wanted to finish watching the end of the Commanders-Eagles game, because they've got stakes as it relates to the Eagles. And it's just they're over there talking about Ben Johnson and this fake fumble play. Let's talk about this right now, because Jared Goff said that Ben Johnson came to him on Monday with this idea and wanted to know if Jared Goff could actually fumble as part of this to really sell it. What the Lions did was ran a play in which they faked that Jared Goff had fumbled the snap, and the Bears bit, and they threw deep for Sam Laporta for a 21-yard touchdown pass. Ben Johnson comes to him on Monday and says, hey, do you think you could actually fumble to help sell this? And Jared Goff said, I don't think that's a good idea. And they workshop it from there. They end up running it in practice. They feel pretty good about this. They arrive at the idea of, we'll have Jared Goff kind of mimic like he's fumbling. Jamar Gibbs in the backfield, the running back, will dive at this phantom fumble, and all of the offensive linemen will scream fumble. And they ran it a couple times during the week. Ben Johnson had actually called it, I believe, in the first half and bailed out of it because he didn't think it was going to work. Great timing. He pulled it out at just the right time. Amon Ra St. Brown says he's running his route, and he hears the crowd at Soldier Field all react and go, ooh!
Yeah.
And he, as soon as he heard that, he's like, perfect. And he turns around, and sure enough, the Lions are scoring a touchdown, and they're up 20-0.
I was in their locker room Thursday in Detroit. They have a pool table, Jason.
They're up 20 points, maybe. I didn't, yeah. Maybe not 20-0.
No, it was after the Bears' first score. Or I'm sorry, it was the first score of the third quarter.
Sorry, you were in Detroit this week. They have a pool table.
They have a pool table. They have a ping pong table. They have a guy putting with one of those little kid putters, the little plastic ones. It's just a different world, and it's a happy world. It's a world where people go to work, and it's not miserable. And boy, that sounds nice, doesn't it, Jason?
It's very different than what the last 6 years of the Bears has been like.
I've been here 11, and 10 of those 11, I think, would qualify as a version of
the
misery.
Who knew we'd sit here and miss Club Dub?
Ben Johnson is the best offensive mind in this head coaching class. And I think my question, and I know Rick Morrissey wrote about it today or for Sunday, and so did you. If the Bears were interviewing Ben Johnson today, or I'm sorry, if Ben Johnson was interviewing the Bears today, did you see anything out there today that would make this an attractive place for him?
See, that is a great question. Right. Great question. That's why you're a good reporter. Because Ben Johnson has been coveted by how many teams over the last two hiring cycles and stayed in Detroit? I think every team that had a vacancy last year wanted him.
Last year he talked to five teams.
And who knows how many teams inquired, like the Carolina Panthers, and he was not even interested in talking. I mean, he has got leverage like few guys in his position have. And if I'm Ben Johnson and I'm making a list here of my concerns, I want to know, I'm concerned that Ryan Poles could be fired at the end of the 2025 season and replaced with a general manager who didn't pick me. Mm-hmm. I am concerned that even setting that aside and any speculation about that, it is not speculation that Ryan Poles has been giving a win or be fired ultimatum for 2025. That's very obvious from what Kevin Warren was saying in their press conference earlier this month. And Ryan Poles has built the Bears. What he has built very conservatively, very carefully. In his word, he wouldn't like either of those adjectives. He would say sustainably. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot. They have what they have, and you can judge for yourself. It's kind of whichever way you want to look at it about, you know, whether this is actually a 4-11 team, a 4-11 roster or not. But they've got future draft capital, future cap space. Like, they're in position to do everything they want to do going forward. When your boss tells you, you better win right now, does that strategy go out the window? Is that approach gone? And is now it's, okay, let's throw money at everything and see what happens. And then, you know, before you know it, you end up like Ryan Pace's 6-11 Bears that aren't beating anyone and are overspent. And you just have totally devastated the chances for the next general manager to come in. And then, Pat, if I was Ben Johnson, I would look at this roster, and I think he's a big fan of Caleb Williams, and I think Caleb Williams is the real thing and is the quarterback that you want for the future. But he's going to look at this and say, well, what else is right with this? What else do you guys have here? Because the offensive line is a disaster. The offensive line needs four new starters, and the defense is bleeding.
Right.
I mean, this, if the Bears were trying to sell this job in this past offseason, if they had fired Matt Eberflus at the end of 2023 – and we're putting out the sales pitch of, hey, number one pick quarterback coming in, top 10 defense ready to go. We're spending money on Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift. Who wants this job? Line out the door. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that any of those things, other than Caleb Williams are really that attractive right now. So you've got these front office concerns, and you've got a roster that needs a lot of work on both sides of the ball.
I'd rather hire the Lions offensive line than Ben Johnson. Like, my fear, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about this later, but my fear with Ben Johnson is this, is that a lot of people could look smart with the league's best offensive line. And that, you know, even if the Bears throw money at their O-line and throw draft picks, and they're going to have three pretty good draft picks, and I think two of them should be spent on O-linemen, even if the Bears go all out
three.
to fix it, it's not going to look like the Lions. You know, the Lions spent a decade drafting and developing offensive linemen that have formed the best unit in the league. I think if you're Ben Johnson and if you look at the Bears, you start with Caleb Williams. You wonder whether the Bears have broken him. I don't think they have. He's sixth all-time now in single-season passing yards. He needs 3 yards to move into fifth place. He'll do that Thursday night. But, Jason, this is a guy who hasn't led in a game since week 11. You can't teach him to win if you can't even put him in a situation where he can be competitive.
You're not giving him valuable – you've made this point so many times, and you're totally right about this. You're not giving him valuable, real reps when you're down 20 to nothing, 24 nothing, 13 – when he's not in the game. It's not a real game simulation for him.
No, it's
– like the learning for Caleb Williams, I feel like, really stopped with maybe that Green Bay game as far as it being a close back-and-forth game where – it's a legitimate NFL game from start to finish, and it's not tilted so egregiously in one side's favor.
Can I read you a quote from Cole Kmet?
Say yes. Yes, please. I'd love a good Cole Kmet quote.
It's hard to build around that type of stuff because you don't want to go into next year with multiple games when you're down 2 scores the whole game. That's not how you want to play offensive football in this league. You got to be able to run the rock, play action, all those types of things. When you get down 2 scores, especially late in the game, I don't know what you can really take from that. I can't talk. Cole Kmet can talk.
Point made, though.
I don't know what you can really take from that, honestly. There you go. I mean,
you get to the question of, especially once you fire Matt Eberflus, but probably before that we were asking this question. Certainly, after you fire Matt Eberflus, you're asking, okay, what's the point of these last 5 games? Well, your number one influencer over your future is Caleb Williams. Most important man in the building at Hallis Hall when it comes to winning at some point, if that's ever going to happen. So the last 5 games become about the development of Caleb Williams. Well, we talk all the time on here about how every single thing you see with an organization relates back to the quarterback in some way. It affects the quarterback and his chances of development and success. Everything from the defense to the wide receivers to the GM, everything. And when you compromise these last 5 games by just being totally blown out of the building by halftime, you are really turning these games. If it's not about Caleb Williams' development, which I don't think there's been a lot of that in the last 3 games, then what is it about? It's just nothing. It's just like NFL inventory that's got to be out there on the shelf on Sundays at noon and Thursdays at 7.
This is like if you took the number one pick in the NBA draft and, you know, and just played him in the fourth quarter of losses. It's like if you take your best baseball prospect and put him in the game only when you're down 6-0. Like, yeah. You know, at some point, you need real stakes here. And you're right. It was the worst thing about this, Jason, is that it will cloud the way the Bears – and their future head coach, whoever he may be, evaluates Caleb Williams this season. The biggest mistake they can make here is to look at something good that he does in garbage time and go, yes, that will automatically translate to when the chips are down. They don't know that. I mean, they just, for the last 6 weeks, they failed to put him in normal situations. Not like it incenses me because the most important thing they can do is have a read on exactly what they have in him. And he's going to play a full damn season, and that is so hard to do. And he's going to stay healthy, probably, knock on this fake wood, Is this fake wood?
You just assume everything at Soldier Field is fake. The grass is spray painted dirt.
Yeah.
I assume this table is fake wood. The popcorn machine says, I think all three words written on it are lies. The popcorn machine in the press box. It says hot, fresh popcorn.
It's not hot.
I'm not sure it's any one of those three things. The offensive line, when you talk about that, the Lions having this great offensive line, their offensive line is ranked fifth by Pro Football Focus. And not surprisingly, Pat, they have spent the 10th most salary cap dollars on their offensive line, and they have three of their own first-round picks invested in that offensive line. Over on the other side, you look at the Bears, who need to replace four out of five starting offensive linemen. You have one first-round pick, and it's Darnell Wright. Other than that, you know, the only other kind of high pick on that line is Tevin Jenkins, who was overdrafted by the previous administration. And it is a great success story for the Bears that they have converted Tevin Jenkins successfully into a quality left guard when he plays. The reason he won't be staying around and the reason he hasn't gotten a contract extension already is because he's a total question mark durability-wise. And that flared up again today, where Braxton Jones, who had been in the concussion protocol, and Tevin Jenkins, who had been mostly out of practice this week with a calf injury, both actually played and started, and both were out of the game by the 9-minute mark of the second quarter. Braxton Jones suffered an ankle injury that, if you weren't watching, really brought the game to a halt. It was it was kind of similar to what happened with Tank Dell the day before, if you saw the Texans-Chiefs game, where it brought the whole sideline out. They put his left ankle in an air cast, and he was quickly ruled out for the game. But that leaves the Bears on this offensive line that is supposed to protect Caleb Williams and that Ryan Poles says is the best depth he's ever had. That leaves him playing Jake Curhan at left guard and Larry Borum at left tackle. And
not Karan Amagaji.
And where's he? Like,
he was a healthy scratch today because
this one's weird, Pat.
Amagaji got his ever-loving butt kicked in his first-ever NFL start, put in an impossible situation, promoted to starter after a week of practices had ended.
Because, was told it as he was boarding the plane.
Yes, because Braxton Jones started to feel concussion symptoms from 7 whole days earlier. He's got to go out against a really good pass rush and a really great defensive blitzer or defensive mind in Flores. And he's horrible. And it's not his fault. He's horrible. And so what they decide to do the following game is promote somebody named what is his name, Jason?
Oh, I don't even remember this guy's name. I'll just make one up. Casey McGovern.
They call him up from the practice squad.
I'll find the name for
to be a backup guard, ostensibly. And they decide that Larry Borum is the better swing tackle behind Braxton Jones. And, you know, by the middle of the second quarter, you got to play Larry Borum. It's a bad scene. And, I asked Amagaji after the game, like, did you see this as a message being sent? And he said, no, we're adults here. You know, like, nobody's feelings get hurt. We just... Chris Glazer.
I can't even find that.
Guard
name.
Chris Glazer was promoted this morning.
Okay.
He played, do you know what position he played?
No.
Fullback.
Okay.
He was replacement Doug Kramer.
He was
Kramer.
In for the Doug Kramer play, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Signaled himself eligible very emphatically. We saw that, yes.
So the Bears' third round pick this season, which was always a project, but we are at the end of his first year, and the Bears have decided he is unplayable.
Now, that made no sense to me at all.
Right.
It can't be a statement, a message to him. It's not like it's not like Amagaji doesn't try. It's not like he's an effort issue for them. How does he go from being your best option at left tackle 6 days earlier to not even dressing for the game?
Makes no sense.
On Sunday against the Lions, it's ridiculous. And to the bigger point, and I wrote about this in the Sun Times this week, but the Bears are run by two former offensive linemen in Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham, and they have an offensive line that can't block anything. They have an offensive line that has not powered a good running game and has the quarterback who's been sacked the most times in the league, and some of that is on Caleb Williams for his indecision. But I think there has been way too much smartest guy in the room syndrome with Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham on their offensive line, thinking that they see something that the rest of the league doesn't when they pull Braxton Jones out of the fifth round, and they sign Coleman Shelton and Ryan Bates to play key spots, or they think that they can, they're the ones that can save and change Nate Davis, or that they have something in Karan Amagaji in the third round that other teams aren't seeing. You know, when the other teams aren't seeing it, they're usually right.
Yeah.
This just happened to them with Justin Fields. Now, the Bears happen to be correct, but like when the market tells you that this guy's only worth a sixth round pick, then you know what you have. You have a backup quarterback on your hands. Now, granted, the Bears were correct about that, but in their offensive line, you can see that they have thought they've known something that everyone else didn't, and it's not true. And that has to stop right now. When you talk about drafting two offensive linemen this coming draft, you stop right now, Patrick. Three. Tackle in the first round, two interior linemen in the second round, and man, you better get somebody else good that's going to be that other interior spot. You need to spend draft picks. You need to spend salary cap dollars. I like, in general, the conservative approach that Ryan Poles has taken. That has to stop on the offensive line, though. It's time to go crazy on the offensive line.
Can it be an Ivy leaguer who's coming off of surgery and won't be ready for training camp?
That doesn't entice me offhand.
Okay. All right. Just wanting to see whether that counts, because
no.
That's what happened here. Jason, the Bears play Seattle on Thursday Night Football.
Huge game.
Oh, my God.
For Seattle.
Yes. So it'll be a condensed week here. The Bears will have two kind of glorified walkthroughs, one on Monday, one on Tuesday, have Christmas with their families, and then come down and play a game. Right now, the only thing at stake for them is where they may draft. As we were looking earlier, what are they not ninth?
Bears were still ninth last I saw. They have so many. As hard as this is to believe for a team that has lost every game since mid-October, and probably is going to lose out and go from 4-2 to 4-13. Hard as it is to believe, there are definitely seven or eight worst teams.
Do you know that the Giants and the Raiders are both on 10-game losing streaks and the Bears are on 9?
Yeah, it's incredible. This is up to the minute right here that you have in front of us. And the Bears are still, as they've been for a few weeks, the number 9 spot. They need a lot of help still.
Wouldn't it be amazing if the Carolina Panthers finished with more wins than the Bears?
Amazing in a sad way.
Yeah, I know.
If they tie, and this is the way you have to think about the standings when you're following the Bears. If they tie in this, Patrick, Carolina has the tiebreaker over the Bears by virtue of having lost to them.
Yeah, and by having the easier schedule, I think.
First, by having lost head-to-head.
Right. Jeez. Jason, we'll talk about the Seahawks when...
It's a lot different than going to the Lions locker room and they're watching the end of the Philly game, waiting to see if they still have the number one seed.
For anybody who's followed the Bears their whole life, I hope they feel great shame that the Detroit Lions can have nice things and the Chicago Bears can't, because for about 40 years, that would have been pretty ridiculous.
I know a lot of Bears fans because I grew up here and live here, and I don't know any that feel shame right now. I know 100% of them that just feel resigned and depressed and are probably just looking for something else to do Thursday night.
At least the Blackhawks and Bulls are good. Nope, they're not. Maybe they get something good for Christmas.
We got a lot of Notre Dame alums in the Chicago area.
Yeah, they're still
you're still gonna watch it.
Yeah, of course.
Don't sit here and be like, I'm not gonna watch the game. I'm not gonna read it. I'm done. Right. I feel like there are Bear fans every week that say I'm done, and then they're right back there watching it again. And I don't blame them. I'm back here watching it on Thursday night too.
Question for you: on Christmas Day, there are two NFL games. Will they be on in your house?
Not likely. No, it's but there's a good one, right? Chiefs Steelers and what's the other one?
Texans. Because they just shuffled up the Texans-Ravens?
I would normally watch those games, but I'm not going to probably feel the need to do that, and my kids are not interested in it at all. You'll be watching?
I think I'll put it on. I think I'll put it on muted. That's a good compromise.
My dad will probably do that. My dad will be at our house. He'll probably turn it on.
Always good to blame it on your dad, too. If your wife gives you a sideways look, you go, dad wants to watch. What are we doing?
Oh, you know what? It's on Netflix, though.
It is.
I don't have Netflix anymore.
What?
No,
really?
Because in my house, we share all the in my, not house, but greater family
circle,
we share the passwords, so kind of everybody buys one subscription, and Netflix is the only one that's cracked down. And my mom drew a hard line when they did that. She said, hey, you can pay to keep it if you want. We're not paying for this.
We have Netflix, and we're using it less and less, and
HBO is the best one.
Really?
I think.
I like Disney. I mean,
you watch The Simpsons on Disney. That's what you like.
Yes, Jason, that is what
it's okay. I like The Simpsons too.
Simpsons are great. Anyway,
I'm big on HBO and Peacock. Those are the two that I
oh,
like.
Oh, really?
The best. Yeah, I like Peacock.
Hulu is pretty good. Do you know what I like about Hulu? And obviously Peacock, this works for them too. It is impossible to watch a 30 Rock rerun anywhere on like regular YouTube TV.
I didn't know.
But you can find them on Hulu and find them obviously on
Peacock. Yeah, I got them on Peacock.
And no, we are not paid to say this.
No, we're just talking.
Anyway, if we don't talk before the holidays, I hope everybody's got a good one coming up and enjoys it. We will be here the night after Christmas, and probably will be a little less festive than the night before. Until then, you can follow Jason and myself on the Sun Times. Check out the website, the app, buy a paper if you're in town, and go check out Mark Potash and all that he does as well. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.